You might be familiar with a man named Prince William from across the pond who is going to be king someday. We are not him. We are from the heart of Northern Virginia, and you're listening to the Other Prince William podcast, where we bring stories from business owners and leaders from our community in Greater Prince William County, Virginia. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with our proud sponsor, OmniRide. OmniRide, a quick and easy way to find your ride. Get there smarter with OmniRide, your public transportation agency located in Prince William, Virginia. Welcome to the Other Prince William Podcast, a project of the Prince William Chamber of Commerce. I'm Bob Sweeney, President and CEO of the Prince William Chamber of Commerce.
And I am Michelle Davis Younger, Mayor of the City of Manassas.
We are so lucky, Mayor. Today we are joined by Marcus Silva,
yes,
President and CEO of Villaggio Hospitality Group. You might know this organization for many things, but I think we all have heard or have visited Farm Brew Live Campus in Manassas. We're actually here today filming in the beautiful barrel room at the Black Sheep restaurant.
Black Sheep. Love Black Sheep. We are so excited to be here today.
Thank you.
Sitting down with Marcus Silva to talk about his journey as an entrepreneur and to learn more about you and your accomplishments. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
So to get started, first of all, as a team, your podcast hosts have arrived a half hour early and Marcus had prepared this amazing menu and a tasting of this ridiculous Knob Creek whiskey. And there is a really, really interesting story. And I think it tells the story of Marcus as a person in a weird way. I'm going to ask a question of Marcus about why he purchased five barrels of Knob Creek whiskey from the great-great-grandson of Jim Beam himself, Fred Noe. So Marcus, tell us about why whiskey, why Knob Creek, why is your name on that bottle?
Wow.
An opportunity presented itself. That's really what it comes down to when we were approached by Knob Creek because of the volume, I suppose, the amount of whiskey that we sell here in some of our drinks. I mean, it's a great product. And an opportunity presented itself for this select barrel series. And we said, you know what? Let's talk about the price. And what if we buy all five of them? And they made us a deal we couldn't refuse. And that's it. So we own all of them.
Yeah. What do they call the whiskey in a barrel that evaporates?
The Angel's Share.
I love that.
Yeah,
the
really
Angel's Share is the part of whiskey in the barrel that is evaporated. And in Virginia, they Knob Creek only allocated five barrels.
Wow.
And we got all of them.
Okay,
yeah.
So the significance is there. Okay, yeah. you're schooling me.
I suppose what's left in the barrel is the Angel's Envy. Which is another
great
product, too.
I love it.
That is a great product.
That is great. So awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us.
The Other Prince William Podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, OmniRide. OmniRide is a public transportation agency located in the Prince William area of the Northern Virginia region. In an area known for some of the worst congestion in the United States, OmniRide strives to provide a family of travel options that meet the needs of the residents and businesses within our community. OmniRide's goal is to be recognized as the easier way for people to get where they want to go through multiple and convenient transit options, including our commuter and local bus services, carpools, vanpools, ride sharing, and their partnership with the instant carpooling community.
Tell us a little bit about Marcus before you became an entrepreneur, and were you always ambitious? Tell us about the younger Marcus and bring us to today.
Yeah, I think so, to some extent. How far back do you want to go? Mom and dad?
So, let's
back up and right way to the beginning. So, first generation born in this country,
Mom and dad are from Portugal. My father from St. Michael, the islands of the Azores, and my mother's from the mainland of Portugal. So they came over when they were very young and supposed to for the American dream for themselves and the next generation, their kids. So I'm an only child. Both parents were school teachers. And in Providence, Rhode Island. So that's where I'm from originally, from Providence. Education was something that was really, really important. Mom and dad did not have a lot of money as school teachers, but what was really important was a strong, solid education. So I got to go to I was Catholic school, K through 11, I think it is, or 10 or 11. And then for the last 2 years, because I didn't hit those grades as a punishment. So, if you don't hit those grades, we're going to pull you out of the school, and ended up graduating from the public school in the town there. And then to really get my mom and dad, I suppose, and I know that this, as a parent now, I know that this really must have hurt a lot, but I left home at 18. I joined the military.
Wow.
So I served active duty in the Air Force.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. You're welcome. And so that must have been tough as an only child.
Yeah.
And 18, that was it. It was just go on. And that was tough. But super proud of my time, of my service. Mm-hmm. And but it wasn't for me. I was stationed, so I went to basic training in Lackland, went to Kelly Air Force Base, from there went to Fort Dix, did Air Base Ground Defense there. I was an SP, so security force, mm-hmm. security police in the Air Force. And they have this thing in the military, it's called the dream sheet. It's sort of, where you, when you're going through tech school, and you're getting your training for whatever that job is that you're going to do, you kind of fill out this form of where you'd like to go, where you'd like to be assigned. And being from New England, I was hoping to get something, close to home, like Hanscom Air Force Base, outside of Cape Cod or Massachusetts or something like that. They sent me to Minot, North Dakota. Yeah, so that might be part of the reason where, why this, I just don't know that this is for me. This is really rough. But served for right around 3 years, got out early through the Palace Chase program, which is an early out for GIs to go to school, gave up a little bit of the GI Bill, ended up enrolling at George Mason University, where I worked on a degree in sociology with a minor or a concentration in behavioral science. Mm. So that's not working out for me.
Yeah.
Twist your turn.
Do you want your money back?
I know Greg Washington.
Yeah. So. But, and again, it was one of those things where you think you're on one path, and just because you're on that path doesn't mean that you can't make course corrections or adjustments, and it's never too late. And I think that's when we were together at George Mason, that was one of the points I was trying to make as, this group of people was sitting there, and it was sort of a small business, I don't know what you call it, a symposium, whatever it was, but they got to ask some questions. And I looked out into the crowd, and there were folks that were actually older than me or maybe my age. And, what they were trying to get from that was, how did you do this? How did you do that? How did you get here? And the one message that it's never too late to make course adjustments. Follow your path, follow your dream, follow your heart, follow whatever feels right to you. So going back to that, concentration in sociology. Why? Because I wanted to be a marshal. I wanted to be a U.S. marshal. That's one of the reasons I went into the military. It's one of the reasons I was an SP. It's one of the reasons that I chose this area was so that I could intern for a lot of these federal agencies around here. And I interned for Fairfax County's or for Virginia's probation and parole. I interned at the Sheriff's Department. I worked at interned for Metropolitan PD, the Bladensburg Road. And it was one of those moments where, I'm glad I'm doing this, but I don't think that I'm set. That this is what I wanted. I wanted to be Tommy Lee Jones kicking in doors in the U.S. Marshall movie.
Didn't we all?
But I was like, every outhouse, hen house, this, that, remember the line of the movie?
Yes.
I was like,
I want to be that too.
But that's not what policing really is. Right. It's not what, especially today, God knows.
Right,
But,
you ever see the show Justified?
Yeah.
That was U.S. Marshals Service. And my favorite line in any movie and every TV show in it came from that. Yeah. Very last episode, very last line, we dug coal together.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was awesome.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just, you know, again, that's where I thought I wanted to be. That's what I thought I wanted to do. And it wasn't. So at a young age with nothing to lose, really, at this point, I'd already met the woman that was going to be my wife. At that point, I was in college at this point, still interning. And I also had jobs in hospitality. So I was very fortunate to have worked for two of the largest and two of the biggest restaurant groups in the area. I worked for Clyde's Group and I worked for Great American Restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
I worked at Mike's. Clyde's. Yeah. The restaurant that I was assigned to was the Clyde's and Tyson's, which is no longer there anymore. Mm-hmm. But I did all their formal training in Georgetown, and you know, I worked at the Tombs and at the Old Everett Grill.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
you
kind of
pull shifts there. But I was assigned to Tyson's, so I learned. That's where I really started to. I don't know if the word's embrace, but really pick up hospitality. And it was just a feeling that I had, and I really, truly enjoyed it.
That was it.
Yeah, so I knew that I didn't want to go into law enforcement, but at that age, you know, the hospitality wasn't even on the horizon.
Sexy.
So I leaned back on, I was sort of, as again, going back to my parents being immigrants and starting out and just that first generation here, raised by my grandparents primarily, you know, sort of latchkey kid and get off the bus and go home and grandma, grandpa, things like that. My grandfather was a carpenter, so I learned how to work with my hands at a really young age and leaned on that and started a handyman business
That's amazing.
In college. So literally like junior year, senior year, I forgot the name of the paper. It was like the Patriot or whatever it is at George Mason.
Yeah.
And, it was an ad for handyman services, and it was a realtor. I don't know how. It was like this is in the real estate boom there, and it was a realtor with like Remax or something that reached out to me and said, I have a bunch of closings, and I need the shutters fixed and the leaky toilets, and I need the gutters need to be clean. Can you do it? I'm like, I got you.
Yeah.
Let's do this. And believe it or not, that's how the construction business started. And then it went from there to other services, to a company that is still very active today. We operate in 11 states in Puerto Rico.
Before you talk about Riley, talk about the roofing job you did.
Yeah.
The very first one.
Yeah, so I was it was Hybla Valley. It was off of Route 1, Alexandria. And it was an old Frank Lloyd Wright design. If you're familiar with his architecture or designs, a lot of these homes are long, big windows, and they tend to be flat roofs or low slope roofs. And the gentleman was selling his house, and he had, again, the realtor put me in touch with this gentleman. There was a punch list of items that needed to be performed. And I don't remember what I was doing. Maybe it was the soffits or the gutters or something like that. And I see all these contractors coming. Over the course of a few days, two or three different contractors show up with these trucks and ladder racks. So I said to Mr. Whatever, if you don't mind me asking, well, what are you getting quotes from or for? And he goes, I have to replace the roof to sell the house because it leaks. Do you mind if can I take a look at it? What do you know about roofs? So I don't know, but I can guarantee you that I'll do a great job. It won't leak if you just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. Let me figure out what it's going to cost. I'll come to you. I'll be, you know, very transparent with the numbers, and you know, maybe it's good for you, good for me, and I can put it on my resume. All right, kid. Whatever. Sure. And at the time on Route 1, there was an Ace True Hardware. I don't remember I forgot where it was or what it was across the street from. So I didn't even know that there were companies like Bradco Supply and the Roof Center and ABC. I ended up renting a U-Haul and going to the Ace True Hardware and buying all the shingles from them. Right? Loaded the U-Haul truck, broke the axle on the truck because it was like all the roofing shingles.
Yeah.
Literally broke the axle on the truck driving into the guy's house. Loaded the shingles onto the ground, and then little by little, you know, one bundle of shingles at a time onto the rooftop. trying to figure out how I was going to do this. And I told you this story before, but my wife remembers it was like a Friday or Saturday. We weren't married at the time, but she was coming to visit me, check on me, and bring me lunch, sort of thing, and see how I was doing. And she tells the story that she remembers me sitting on the edge of the roof with my kind of legs hanging off the gutter with the bundle of shingles on my lap, and I was, because on the back of the bundles there are the instructions that show how to install this. I had literally, so if they only knew what I didn't know, right? What's that called, like imposter syndrome or something? Yeah. Like if he only knew what I didn't know. But I'm literally trying to figure this out, like, how do I do this? Like, what's a starter course? How do you cut a valley? And then, you know, by the grace of God, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, I hear pow, 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 pop, pop, pop. I was like, what is that sound? And I look across the driveway and there are these two guys doing a roofing repair on the house across the street. And they have these things called nail guns.
Wow.
And they're hooked up to ear hoses and they're hooked up to compressors. And I'm ready to like pull my hammer out like one shingle at a time. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I walk over there. Hey guys, so you understand this stuff? Like, yeah. When you're done with that, you think you could help me out? I'm like, sure, let's come up with a price. And they finished their repair and they came over and we put this guy's roof on. And wow. I think the roof is still on the house and sold it and there's no issues, but he never had any issues. He never had any issues, but you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So you did not arrive in this community because of your Portuguese heritage, did you?
No.
Isn't that interesting that we have a, in kind of greater Manassas area, we have a really, really deep population of Portuguese immigrants and second generation now people. It's wonderful. So you've got your Portuguese heritage, you've got a company called Villaggio, which I think is Italian sounding. You've got a construction company called Riley.
Do you want to hear where Villaggio came from?
I want to, yes.
So as you know, really quick, so I live in the town of Clifton, which is a little village, right? Kind of stands, it's an old, you know, Norman Rockwell sort of stands still in time, and it's a village. Mm-hmm. I'm not Italian, but I have an opportunity to open up a restaurant, and it's going to be Italian. I wanted to comfort food. That part was sort of, there was some thought process there on how we were going to do that. I was like, what am I going to name the place? So Villaggio was like the Italian relative that I made it up.
It's like,
it's like an Italian. Like, how do you make village sound Italian?
God.
Villaggio.
Oh,
it's literally like
that. That is so funny.
So
that is
basic.
Hilarious.
Yeah. It's not a word.
That is
and your company's called Riley.
Yeah.
That's Irish.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that somewhere in the back of your mind you're trying to take over the world. Portuguese, Italian, Irish.
Yes.
Yeah,
so you want to know where Riley came from?
Yeah.
So Riley is my wife's maiden name.
Oh,
so I named the company after her.
Points.
Yeah.
Look at you. That's great.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, named the company after her. That's her
great.
Maiden name.
That's great.
You know, Mr. and Mrs. Riley, I still call him Colonel Riley.
Yeah. You kind of have
still
to.
Do.
Yeah, that's funny.
They had three girls.
And he's never pulled you aside and said, hey, call me Tom, will you?
Yeah, it's been so long at this point. I wouldn't do that.
I remember going to Clifton because Villaggio was the heart and hand.
The heart and hand. Yeah.
I used to work for a company in Centerville that we had our Christmas parties there.
Yeah.
And then so I hadn't gone.
Yeah.
And then when they said, you know, this new restaurant is there, then I thought, well, we got to go. And I told you, we absolutely love it.
We found it by chance.
Yeah.
We found the town
of
Clifton by chance. Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, it's one of those you just kind of go through it, you know.
Yeah.
But very, very much like the city of Manassas with the. With the whole
Norman
Rockwell feel and the historic downtown and all of that. But I walked in and I went, this is hard, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they did such a great job.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The bar and everybody's always great when they get there. So
yeah, the
so,
charm
yeah.
of the town. Yeah, I found that. So you mentioned that earlier before we started this, you mentioned that you ride motorcycles.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I was going through my quarter life crisis, I bought a Harley Davidson.
Oh, I want to do that when I grow up.
I can tell you a story about that too, if you want to hear. Basically, it was one of those. I don't remember why, where, when, or how exactly, but I was in Fairfax City driving through, and I just kind of had this itch that I wanted a motorcycle, and went into Harley Davidson. I was like, you know, I
love
this
that
would be cool.
On Main Street there.
I need this in my life. This would be really cool. And called my wife, called Colette, and said, hey, so I'm thinking about buying a motorcycle. She's like, what? I'm like. I said, look, it's either this or a boat. She's like, get the motorcycle.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So she kind of gave me the thumbs up, and I got the motorcycle. I bought
great
this,
feeling.
You know, it was a Road King custom. Favorite color was blue. Did all the paperwork. guy, you know, brings me the keys, congratulations, this and that. And he's sitting there and he's like, all right, well, have a great evening. I'm like, whoa, how do you ride this thing? I had no idea. Oh my God. He's like, one down, five up, or four up, whatever it was. Yeah, and literally showed me, I rode around the parking lot. She came and met me and followed me in second gear all the way home.
You didn't even have a motorcycle license or anything. You hadn't gone through class, nothing. You just knew you wanted to ride.
I ended up getting that after.
Wow, yeah. That is so amazing.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like
the only kid in the class with the Harley.
Yeah, there's no better feeling than to be on a bike.
It was awesome. So that's actually how we found Clifton. That's why when you mentioned that.
Riding through, it just, that is like the best feeling when you can ride through those little small towns and get that. So
it's how we found it. One day she was on the, and it was some of the best times and the best conversations that we had.
It is
because, you know, we were riding together, and my wife likes to talk, so she's and you know, holding on, and we're riding through the windy roads of Clifton, and it was awesome. Great. That's how we found the Heart and Hand, which is where we had. A brunch, actually, or something like that. And then when we left, there was this for sale by owner a block over, because we actually live like just a few houses down from there.
That's just meant for you to be there and do that. Yeah. So, so community, you know, is a big part of building a business. So talk about, because we were talking earlier about the relationships and what matters, and we see with this podcast in itself how we're including Prince William, we're including the city of Manassas. We're trying to grab everyone. So you know what a big part that plays in making sure that we touch everybody. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about the role that that's played in your business plan, just being in the community, having community involvement and those connections.
So we are in the county. So
I know.
Specific to our, I guess, our relationship with Prince William County, which it's a great relationship. I'll go back to the beginning of how this came to be, but originally we were going to do a... somewhere along the line, as a part of growing, expanding Valaugia Hospitality, there was this idea of doing another restaurant. And we explored that, and then an opportunity presented itself to, you know, what about a brewery? This is cool. You know, and this is sort of in the beginning of when, I wouldn't say the very beginning, but still when it was like really just popular, coming. They're popping up everywhere, and like, this is cool. And then Forrest came into my life, and he wanted to sort of reinvent himself, and he made a, you know, he makes a great beer, and
Forrest
Morgan. Yeah. Forrest is brewmaster over at Two Silos, and all the creator of all those beers and brands that you see there. An opportunity again, an opportunity presented itself to purchase some land in Fairfax County to do a farm brewery. That did not work out for a variety of reasons, even though it's a long story, but sort of a by right use. But there was a lot of concern from the neighbors of what that would be like to have a 21-acre farm in the middle of Fairfax County with a brewery and the noise and the traffic and maybe drunk drivers and this and that. So it got a little bit tense for a while. It was a challenging time, but we held a town hall meeting in the town of Clifton. At the barn.
At the barn.
And you know, there were some neighbors that were definitely concerned, because it was one of those, he already owns the land, it's a by right use, you know, are we wasting our time here? You know, he's the developer, he's gonna do whatever he wants. But I said to them, you know, folks, we're neighbors, I'm raising my family here, we already have a business here. Yeah. It's as much for you as it is for me. I wanna hear what your concerns are, and if it doesn't feel right at the end of the night, we're gonna pull the plug. No, he's not. We went through this for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I felt like there was everything but pitchforks there. It was really tough. I think this was like on a Saturday, and I slept on it, and I kind of reflected and spoke to my wife, and the next day I put out a message on social media and let everybody know that we've made the difficult decision. But it was a difficult decision for us, but we felt like it was the right thing to do for the town, for the community. We heard their voices and like, this is what we're going to do. So we decided to pull the plug on that. And just as that was happening, I remember reaching out to my assistant at the time and I said, you got to start finding some other locations, because we're not done with this project. We're just going to take it somewhere else. Keep in mind, I already had the building fully designed, engineered. I mean, we're ready to put shovels in the ground sort of thing. So we had spent, you know, it's 21 acres in Fairfax County. We purchased the land. We paid for the, you know, the architecturals, the engineering. We were ready to roll. and we pulled the plug. Just, it didn't feel right. I got to live with it. Wow. Might have won the battle, not the war. Is that how they say it? Is that what it is? Yeah. So that's, you know, that's, you know, I said, you got to start looking for some other locations. So she gave me a list of properties, and this was not on. This property that we're sitting on today was not on that list. And again, timing and circumstance, happened to drive by and see this building that I've driven by many times. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, do me a favor, just find out who owns that land. Who owns that land with that barn with those two silos on it? I get a call back. Prince William County owns it. So I reached out to Tom Flynn. I said, Tom, you sent me this. I should back up that I actually got an email from the county. It was an email or a phone call or a voicemail. I don't remember, but it was one of those that in summary basically was, hey, listen, if they don't want you, meaning Fairfax, if they don't want you, we want you. So I like to say, you know, one barn door closed and another massive barn door flew open.
That's so awesome. That's testimony, awesome. Actually, yeah, about really? Their yeah. about economic development in the county. Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Well, there were signs. There were literally signs on people's lawns in Fairfax County and Cliff that said, like, that's a, with a keg with a red mark through it. It's like, say no to brewery. I mean, it was rough there for a minute. But, you know, if you're familiar with sort of a cut through from Fairfax to Prince William, which is Yates Ford Road, a lot of people do that. And I suppose anybody that didn't know that now knows.
No. That's a cut through.
Yeah. But they saw all these yellow signs on people's lawns, like say no to brewery. Mm-hmm. Well, it caught somebody's attention in economic development. Mm-hmm. I get this call, you know, which. Stemmed, you know, it launched this other conversation, and I reached out, and the county owns it. What do you mean the county owns it? Hey, reached out to Tom Flynn. He's like, yes, we own it. It's a historic property, this and that. Are you interested? Absolutely. Let's take a look at it. And here we are. So that's what started that conversation. That's what started that relationship. It was super awesome beginning, a ton of support. And I think that what also helped is that on the construction side, we have a lot of experience in adaptive reuse of historic buildings. So we do a lot of work with the National Park Service. So between the hospitality and our construction side and experience, it was just like the perfect marriage. And it just worked out really, really well. So I don't know that I answered the question, but.
What's the website for Riley Construction?
It's RileyConstruction.com. R-E-I-L-L-Y.
Go ahead and say it.
R-E-I-L-L-Y Construction.com.
Yeah, so audience, if you haven't gone and looked, go look at that website. Yes. You'll be incredibly impressed with what Marcus has done on the construction side, starting from a roof in Hyde Valley.
It's just
absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
The quality of construction that he has produced. We've all seen it here at Two Silos and
Black Sheep.
Black Sheep Restaurant. It's amazing. Adaptive reuse. It's basically adaptive reuse of an old barn that has become this masterpiece in the county.
I mean, amazing.
I've loved it. So, a lot of people have a hard time jumping from, and you started talking about it, jumping from this business idea to actually starting their business. Have you been able to get past how have you been able to get past that nervousness of a lot of people of just actually, like you said, the roofing story, or how did you actually, I mean, you are an incredibly shy guy. You even hate talking into a microphone. You know, and you never do public speaking.
No.
And you're kind of a hidden gem. How did you actually have the wherewithal to make that first ask? Was it?
In what space? In what world?
Was it self-confidence? You started Riley Construction. All of a sudden you're seeing some success. You know the quality of your hands, right? You know your business mind. You know that, but all of a sudden you could say, oh my God, this is the vision for this place.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a clearly defined answer to that question, but I mean, I guess it's just in a way, I've always been sort of wired that way for some reason. I go back to on the construction side. I can tell you that, for example, my business cards, said senior project manager until about 10 years ago. Like, I just didn't really care about the title, right. And I didn't, it was just, you know, to me it was more important that they understood that there was this person that cared so much about the business and so much about the product and what we were trying to deliver to the customer than I'm the president, I'm the CEO. Yeah. Who cares about that? Right. I just, you know, it's right. At the end. So literally until about 10 years ago, it literally said senior project manager. I think right now it just says Marcus on it or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't.
That's good. Just kind of what I'm looking for. That's just,
it's just how I'm wired, I suppose.
And I think if jump in for just real quick, it's service that is a part of you, and that's always been a part of you. From hearing you talk about your military, you've led with that service attitude. That's in your heart. So it's just showing up this way.
I think so.
That's always been your undercurrent, and this just gave you that platform to bring it even for more people to enjoy. That's you. You are service at your heart.
I never really thought of it that way, but I think so. I mean, if I think even when I go back to, you know, on the construction side with, you know, sticks and stones, it was, you know, that end product.
Yep.
Like, so it's how it all comes together and this product that we're delivering to somebody.
Yep.
And I think that in hospitality, you know, it's...
That is.
It's about, you know, creating moments, touching people's lives, you know, connecting with others.
That's
and
it.
How it makes people feel, you know. So when they walk into a space, again, go back to the sticks, how... It's a question that I ask myself all the time when we're sitting there and trying to think about something or imagine or design something. How will it make people feel?
Yep.
And it's a mantra that carries me throughout every single decision that I make. How will it make people feel? And I think that's super important.
I love it. That's service. That's the
first thing you did, military, and that gave you your foundation.
It makes me realize why you're successful. Mm-hmm. Right
it's
now,
about
it's because you've got. It's about others. It's about your customer always first.
Always,
and it's about creating an environment that is special.
Mm-hmm.
Go, even the whiskey story.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating a special story. I don't know what the story is with Two Silos and the incredible music you have coming through here. I don't know why that ever happened, but it's amazing.
Yeah,
think about the people's lives that have all. Special events in people's lives that you are now a part of forever, whether it's a wedding at Bellagio, a baby shower, a black sheep, you know, all that stuff. It all happens here.
You had me eating in an igloo outside.
In the cold, probably.
Going, what am I doing? But that's creating the experience.
Yeah.
And that's when you're black sheep. Oh, yes, I'm going to dress up because...
Yeah.
But you don't have to.
No, you don't.
But it makes you feel that. You feel good when you say black sheep, going to black sheep. It's great. It's just such a wonderful feeling. And I know that comes directly from your heart. It is here.
I think so.
And you can feel it all throughout.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I noticed on Bellagio's group website, you have two new businesses coming in 2025. Just talk a little bit about that, if you can, about Proof and Reveal. Is that?
Repeal.
Okay.
Super excited about those.
Okay.
So Proof is going to be the new restaurant that is attached to Malarkey's new distillery, so Malarkey Distilled Spirits, or Malarkey Brands. So we're really, really excited to have partnered with Malarkey, just an awesome family with a great product, a wonderful following, and probably more than anything, just a ton of potential, to be, you know, certainly the areas, if not the regions, you know, best distillery. I mean, they make an awesome product. So by bringing their family, their culture over to the campus and sort of marrying up with the energy that we have here, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. So we see that as a huge responsibility. On the restaurant side, because that's an opportunity to actually, you know, to have people. It's a captured audience that's coming to experience Malarkey, and now we get to feed them. We get to show them the space. It's an introduction to Farm Brew Live. Mm-hmm. So it's called Proof, as in, like, you know, 100 proof, 100 whatever.
Got
so
it.
It's Proof. Sort of the foundation of it will be. burgers and bourbon sort of thing. So there'll be so much more than that. And you actually meant, so when you mentioned like dressing up for Black Sheep for a minute, it's almost like a little bit of a misconception sometimes, but it's out there that Black Sheep is fancy. Right. But as you know, it caters to everyone. Yeah. You know, and we welcome everyone, we embrace everyone. The menu is approachable. I think that the price points are where they need to be. So what we're trying to do with this, though, is to create a concept that really speaks to that lunch demographic, those families, those folks that are in the community, all this residential density that's coming around here that may think, you know, Black Sheep is more for special occasions, or maybe it's for a Friday night dinner. Well, we can go to Proof and have, you know, really great cocktails. We can have really great food. You can go there and have, have a business meeting. There'll be a few private dining rooms. There'll be some lounge seating. So it's just all kinds of an experience that will resonate with everybody.
Yeah. It does. I come here often, and I see.
We're trying to hit that space right there. You know, we have the fast casual at Two Silos with the pizzas and the handhelds and the salads and the food trucks.
And then we have the polished casual over here at Black Sheep. So we're trying to, what's that spot right there?
Because I've heard people say, wish there were more food options here in the area. So we're trying to, you know, just answer that question.
Give them what they want. You got me. So taking me way back. And then reveal is the other.
Repeal.
Repeal.
Repeal, like repealing the,
all that
1920s.
Stuff.
1920s,
right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep. Repealing prohibition. Yeah, absolutely. So that'll be a concept that is connected to. I don't know if I should tell you this because it's kind of a secret.
Okay,
I mean, it is a speakeasy. It's a speakeasy, right? it's a speakeasy. It's sort of the
different.
That's cool.
The unexpected in plain sight. That's sort of our. When we talk about the design, and then you might think, well, I have to go into a hotel and I'm going to walk through a lobby. Yeah. I'm in Manassas. Yeah. You know, what am I going to expect? You'll see.
Right.
It's going to be very authentic. You're going to really, truly feel like you're in a 1920s speakeasy. The unexpected in plain sight.
That's great.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Awesome. And you have a partnership
with Holiday.
With Holiday and with
Hilton. Yeah.
It's a Hilton property.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. The hotel is with, it's a Hilton property. It's a Tempo by Hilton. Okay. It'll be the first Tempo in Virginia. It's a awesome product.
92 rooms on property, on site.
Yep.
That's amazing. Yep.
And we've partnered with Holiday, and they're going to be operating the hotel. We'll take care of the food and beverage component. And it's going to be a great addition to the campus.
If you could do anything different, we asked this of all of our guests who are super successful, what would it be?
Anything different.
What would you do different with you know, I know you, I mean, you struggled early life, super successful now. So in the end, it all worked out great. You got the beautiful wife, you got the successful business, you've got the pillar of the community, you're growing and expanding now.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always that way. So I'm just wondering, like, would you change anything about your trajectory, or what have you learned?
Okay. Yeah, I think that my answer is probably on face value is going to seem very arrogant, but the answer is nothing. I wouldn't change anything. And the reason for that is because I've made so many mistakes over the years. Personally, professionally, as a husband, as an operator. But it's those mistakes, the mistakes I made, those are the ones that actually I've learned from the most and that make me a better person.
It.
They don't define me.
Right.
And no one will ever weaponize those against me because I accept them.
You accept it and you acknowledge it.
But I think it's what makes me a better person and a better operator.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's brilliant. So that's it for the questions that I have, Mayor.
That is it. That is definitely it.
Before we wrap up this interview, I just want our audience to know that Marcus has broken open a bottle of Knob Creek single barrel select rye.
That's the water.
9-year-old, and on the label it says single proof barrel select rye from Black Sheep, Bellagio Hospitality number 2. 115 proof, and he's opened the bottle to give us a taste of the only way you can have this bottle in the state of Virginia is at this restaurant.
You know, they actually got to walk through the rickhouses and choose the barrels. Taste them and choose them. There's a whole kit that came with this, and we like this, we don't like that. That's the one.
Really?
Yeah, so when it says like barrel number or rickhouse number two, it'll show which rickhouse or
which barrel number.
Yeah,
Fault Flows 03.
So that's the actual
that identified. So like imagine, so you see these barrels here, you know, they walk up and we try that one, we don't like it. We like that one. That's the one.
Wow.
Yeah.
How amazing is that?
So, okay. So cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This is awesome. This is great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, guys. And that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us today. We would encourage you to stay connected by following the other Prince William podcast on your favorite podcast platform listed in the description.
Until next time, be sure to keep supporting local businesses, artists, and entrepreneurs. Thank you, Marcus, for joining us again today. To all of our listeners, thank you for being with us on this journey.
Take care, everyone. We'll see you at the next episode of the other Prince William.
Prince William.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers again.
Thank you for joining us today for our discussion. Be sure to check out the note caption and learn more about today's guest and more about their work. Please be sure to check out our sponsor. This is a great way to support our podcast and the work we continue to do discussing business in the greater Prince William County, Virginia region. If you have suggestions, topics, or questions to discuss with the team, please be sure to add your comments in the videos on our YouTube page. We read your comments and value your feedback. If you haven't already subscribed, please be sure to subscribe now and stay updated on all the upcoming guests and announcements. Again, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to bringing you more inspirational stories from local business owners, creators, and entrepreneurs from the amazing business community here in our area.